In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Believing in Jesus is like going to a great banquet. God prepared this grand feast, and from the depths of his storehouses, he brought forth a wonderful treasure for the soul of man. For him, it came at great cost. But for us, it is not a laborious task to have to go and receive the good things of God. Rather, a gracious invitation to partake of the wisdom, the love, and the eternity of God. He doesn't tuck us away in a separate room. He invites us to sit at his table. He doesn't give us only a portion. He gives us the fullness of his love. Listen and speak, eat and drink. This celebration is not restricted to some distant heaven. There it will be most clearly manifest. But it's a celebration you partake in right now. And neither does it deal only with what happens within the divine service, though here it is most clearly manifest on earth. But this is your reality. You live in a great banquet, whether at home, at work, or in this divine service. For believing in Christ is like a great banquet. You have been invited, brought in, and compelled by the gospel to enter. And as with any great feast, two things are needed. Good conversation with good company and good food. We would be far more than content to simply sit in the corner and hear the angels speak with God of the wonders that he has done for us, but God actually invites us to join in the conversation. We are not discussing mundane things, nor are we trying to engage in small talk. We are talking about the most glorious event that has ever occurred on earth. The satisfaction for sin, as the Son of God breathed his last and gave up his spirit. By that death, all sin was paid for. Wrath is stifled, and hell is closed. That death is the very center of all human history. It is the very heartbeat of the Christian's life and the source of our joy and gladness. This gospel of the forgiveness of sins is not simply a proclamation about what Jesus has done many years ago, but it's the forgiveness that he desires to give to us today. In faith, we receive it. We receive not simply a message about him, but we receive him who died. Through the word, we receive Christ, for he says, "My flesh is food indeed, and my blood is drink indeed." We receive Christ in faith as we hear his word and receive his forgiveness. That doesn't mean that he ignores our day-to-day life and downplays what we have gone through on any given week. No, rather, he takes our very existence and life and enfolds it into his life so that we might have joy. The devil's grim breakfast stole our joy. So you do not always sense that Christian joy or happiness. And yet God desires that you would have it. This is the life that he has created for you. And yet you do not fully enjoy it. He doesn't want diseases and sickness and pain and suffering, hospital visits, broken hearts, tears or sadness, or even death to come. But because of our decisions and choices, they now come. We live in a cursed world. Yet we are not without hope. There is a feast that God has prepared for us where your life is wrapped up into Christ's life. Whatever happened last night is brought into whatever happened on Calvary. Whatever sadness and tears you have is brought into the tears of Christ. Whatever joy and hope you have is brought into the joy of Christ. So who can comprehend the depths of God's love and faithfulness? Where we have stumbled and fallen, he has remained faithful so that we might be righteous before God. Members at his table, conversing with God himself of the wonders that he has done for us, living in love with one another, even as we live in love with God. Christian joy is often tied to grief, that this world is not all that it should have been, that our lives are not all that they should have been, oftentimes through our own failures. We grieve that we sin yet again, and yet we rejoice that God is the Savior of sinners as he announces one more time, "I forgive you all your sins." A heavenly conversation that changes us and makes us righteous before God and heirs of his kingdom. He covers over all of our sin, our entire life, our entire body and soul and heart and mind is sanctified by the word of God, sanctified by that forgiveness so that we might find our life in Christ. So every good banquet has good conversation with good company. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and to his courts with praise to speak about this wonderful message that we call the gospel. And yet, if you are invited over for a Thanksgiving dinner and you are not given a plate to eat, no matter how good the conversation is, something is missing and lacking. So God also wants to compound your joy by serving you, not just your ears, but also your lips. Speaking is meant to lead to eating. The tree of the knowledge of good and evil, do not eat from it, was meant to lead to the tree of life, eat and live. Pulpit leads to altar. The word leads to sacrament, not because we are missing out on anything, but God wants to exponentially increase the celebration and our joy. The forgiveness that touches your ears now touches your tongue as you receive his body and blood for the forgiveness of sins. In God's banquet, there is the best of meats and the finest of wines. And this wine gladdens the heart by giving you a clear conscience before God. Regular wine, no matter how expensive, cannot give you a clear conscience. But this wine can, because it is the very blood of Christ, who has atoned for your sin, so that you might sit at table with God and have peace and joy. No regrets, no sins. You know them, but they are covered over by the blood of Christ. His blood has set you free to sit with God, free to feast with God, free to eat and to drink, free to love your neighbor as yourself, and free to be joyful. The blood of Christ is your salvation. Blessed are they who are invited to the wedding supper of the Lamb, Scripture says, for earthly delicacies cannot nourish you for eternity. But this heavenly delicacy can. The eternal God is the source of your joy, goodness, and love. The best of meats and the finest of earthly wines can only stuff the body and intoxicate the mind. But this food fills you up for eternity. And this wine gladdens your heart so that you may rejoice in the goodness of God who forgives yet once more. Every good meal has good food, eaten with good company and good conversation. And it's not only for you. You are outsiders to the promise, and yet you have been brought in. Do not look at yourself to see if you are worthy in and of yourself. You are not. And yet what you have done cannot make you worthy, and where you have failed cannot prevent you from coming. God's invitation makes you worthy for this feast. All earthly distinctions are abolished in God's feast. The mother is made equal to her child, the infant to his father, the attic to Saint Mary. The invitation now has reached our ears, and we are made equal to all those great men and women of faith. And so we are the great ones who lived out on the streets and the highways, the byways and the hedges. We are the great men who have been invited in, who are blind and crippled and lame and poor. Yet we are given a seat at God's table to talk with him, to listen, and to feast. This is the joy of the gospel. And this is your reality, not simply as you sit in a pew, but this is your daily reality, most clearly manifest here, of course, but also true of you as you work and as you play, when you're in the hospital and when you are recovering. When you feel all alone, God wants you to feast. When you're sad, he wants you to feast. When your heart is broken and your body failing, he wants you to feast. When the day doesn't go the way that you desire, or when it goes according to your plans, he wants you to feast on his Son, to believe his word and to eat from his table, so that your joy might increase evermore. His Son is for you. His supper is for you. Celebrate, not by throwing a party, but celebrate by believing in him, for there is life in his name. Celebrate not by trying to distract yourself with alcohol, cannabis, or virtual realities, but celebrate by living in God's reality, that this supper is yours, and this feast is an eternal feast given to you on earth. The Son lives, your sins are forgiven. Your burdens, struggles, and disappointments will be a thing of the past. You may not see it every day, but you get a glimpse of this feast here. So rejoice in the Lord. Be strong and take courage and rejoice in the Lord, because you let his word lead you to that joy, not your life events. And if you find your celebration at work, possessions, or amongst family, then by all means, enjoy those things, busy yourself with them, but just understand you will never get a taste of God's banquet. Many trade heavenly joy for earthly joy. They have a hard time waiting and want immediate satisfaction or change in their life. They want to live by their own reality, and fail to see that God has given them a deeper, eternal reality. So patience, dear Christians. Let God's invitation fill your heart and mind, and let his forgiveness fill the same. And if you grow bored with this gospel and see it as nothing more than a redundant conversation and some stale bread and cheap wine, then he will invite someone else. But know this, that the life that you have right now is as happy as you will ever be then. But if you find joy in his gospel, he who believes that gospel and eats of Christ in faith, then the life that you have right now is as sad as you will ever be. God wants you to have joy in his Son and to celebrate his banquet. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.